Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, beginning at verse 22. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, that is, the Messiah. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, Simeon took the child up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And his father and mother marveled at what was said about Jesus. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Lord God, we ask that your word would speak, that we might find wisdom, encouragement, that your Holy Spirit might rest on us as it rested upon Simeon and Anna, that we might see with our own eyes your salvation coming into the world more and more. And Jesus, we ask that we could be a small part of that salvation, not only for our own sakes, but for the sake of Fairbanks, for the sake of Alaska, for the sake of your people all around this world. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Not exactly a Christmas story, but not too far off. What strikes me about this passage of Scripture is how comfortable it is with both life and death. How comfortable Simeon and Anna are with both life and death, how they have peace in this life and peace with the idea of their death. There's a lot of talk today about extending the life of humanity. There's popular internet, chronically online billionaires who talk about how they plan to live to 200, how, Wired magazine talks about how maybe the first person to live to 200 has already been born, and this idea of extending our lives as far as possible, it's always been an obsession with humanity. It's always been an obsession, especially with those who have quite a bit of money, of wealth, of fame, of power in this life. If you have all those things, perhaps you don't like the idea of losing those things when you die. We have a counterexample here in our scripture today. Simeon and Anna, who are both well into their old years, their elden golden era, however you want to call it. They are much closer to death than they are to their birth. And in many ways, they are waiting for one last word, one last message from God before they greet death. But they do not seem to fear death all that much. In fact, they seem much more concerned about the life of their people and the fulfillment of God's promises to them and their people than they do about their own life or death. This was years and years ago, not at this church, but at the church I served previously, another lifetime in Texas. There was a woman who passed away, and she was a pillar of the congregation. She was one who always cooked for the potlucks. She was one who always served on Sunday morning in a variety of ways, as you know, the reader of scripture, or the worship leader, as an usher, as a greeter. And there was a time where we had a lot of evacuees from New Orleans after the big hurricane there. And she was there in the kitchen making huge pots of stew and gumbo and chicken cacciatore. And when she passed, it was a big deal, right? She'd been a pillar of this church for decades, 70, 80 plus years. She'd been a part of this church. And so as the youth director, I was encouraging the teenagers to come to the funeral. She was kind of everybody's grandma, myself included. And I had one mother of one teenager come and say, my child won't be coming to the funeral. And I said, well, I understand, but, you know, is there anything else you want to say? They said, well, he doesn't really handle death that well. His parakeet died about a year and a half ago, and he cried for a week. I said, okay, but people are going to continue to die in his life. If he has any other pets, they'll eventually die too. At some point, you'll need to talk about this. He'll need to be able to process death and have some kind of an understanding besides just saying, well, we're not just going to be there. Death is hard. Death is scary. We don't like to talk about it. It's up right up there with politics and money, right? It's not something that's meant to be brought up in mixed company or polite conversation. Simeon's song is known in the Latin as Nunc Dimittis, and that's a fun word to say, Nunc Dimittis. It's right there on the front of your bulletin if you want to look at the nice, pretty picture. And Nunc Dimittis means now you are dismissing. Now this dismissal happens. And Simeon is saying this to God with joy in his heart as he holds Jesus aloft in his arms. He understands that this is the last moment that God has prepared for him in his life. There's a sense of completion, and more than completion, there's a sense of peace. A sense of peace that does not come from Simeon's own effort. It does not come from him living as perhaps a prophet or a father and a grandfather or a husband. This is a different kind of peace. A peace that only God can grant. A peace that only God gives. And as Simeon holds Jesus aloft in his arms, he realizes that this is God's promise kept. This is the last word of hope and joy that he needs this side of death. The Holy Spirit is upon him, and so he sings this song. My eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. As you enter Jerusalem, there's a sense of this is a holy city. This is a city that is meant to be set apart for God, the capital of a people set apart for God. Abraham was told by the Lord that he would be blessed to be a blessing to all the nations. And so Jerusalem was meant to be that place where nations could go to hear about the one true God, the creator of all things, in whom there is salvation. in this life and the next. And in fact, the outer court, the outermost court of the temple, which is in the heart of Jerusalem, was called the court of the Gentiles. It is in this court that Jesus flipped the tables and chased out the money changers, because he was reminding the people that the court of the Gentiles within the temple was still the temple. It was the place where people who did not grow up as covenant people of God, grow up with the privilege of being Hebrew, could come to know the Lord, to hear the word of God spoken to them and for them. And Jesus says, you've made it a den of robbers, and so he chases them out. This is where Simeon encounters Jesus and Mary and Joseph, presumably, because he says, you have made salvation known, prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and glory to your people Israel. Simeon sees in Jesus the fulfillment of God's promise, not only to him personally that he would see the salvation arrive, but the fulfillment of God's promises that stretch all the way back to Abraham. Blessed to be a blessing, a light to the nation, salvation to the world. And Anna sees it too and proclaims the same joy, the same peace before God and all the people. Now, it's one thing to pray for peace, to wish for peace on earth. It's another thing to pursue it. And Simeon says very bluntly that Jesus is the child appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed so that many hearts may be revealed, and a sword will pierce through Mary's soul also, predicting not only Jesus' death, but also Jesus' own words that before we get to peace, first there must be division. There must be truth told and honesty, and sometimes honesty and truth divides families, divides even the heart of an individual as we grapple with our own sin. We grapple with the fact that we are not perfect, that sometimes we're not even good, and that if we want to see and to know and to have God's salvation in this life and the next, we must go to God and be honest about our faults, about how we have hurt each other, how we've hurt ourselves, how we have offended God and God's law with what we've done and what we've failed to do. That doesn't sound like peace, but it is how we get to true peace. And sometimes that's an internal struggle, sometimes that's a family struggle, and sometimes that's a whole church, a whole community, a whole nation's struggle. Jesus is both the sword that divides, but also the bandage that heals and binds up wounds. Like Simeon and Anna, we are invited today to look upon Christ and be encouraged, to see the light of God revealed to the nations, and then to carry that light with us as we leave this place. As Brian said, it's dark and it's cold, and the fog and the ice fog and the 40 below has been here for a while. And yes, the forecast is looking very, very good. And we all say, thank you, God. Amen. Okay. But no matter what the temperature is, life goes on. And life has its joys and life has its tribulations. And we have a choice. And every day, with every trial and every tribulation we face, and that choice is to trust in God, to know that because of God's salvation brought to us here and now on earth, we have a peace in life and a peace in death. Or we can cling to what we have, to what we've earned for ourselves, cling to our bank account and our job and our family that we've built, the house that we've put together, the household. Cling to it and claw at it and try and get a little bit more. And as illness and challenge and hard times come, we can rail against the God who brought this suffering upon us and wish for better times and wish we had more time to build up our own little pile of stuff that we've made for ourselves. Or we can turn to God, look upon the person of Jesus, look upon the cross of the crucified and resurrected Messiah, and say, Lord, you are dismissing your servant in peace. My only hope in life and in death is Jesus Christ, my Lord. And what God has prepared for me, I will face with peace that is not my own, with strength that is not my own, with a life that has been granted to me for a season. And when that season is up, then I go back to God. For God is the giver of life and the one, the only one, who can provide peace in this life, peace in death, and peace after death in the next life through the resurrection that Jesus has pointed us to. Simeon caught a glimpse of that, a glimpse that he couldn't even keep to himself, so he's crying out and singing in the temple. He's turning to Mary and being honest with her too about this soul that will pierce her soul, sword that will pierce her soul. But in the midst of that, he knows who his Lord is. He knows that God has indeed prepared all of this for him. And whether he lives another day, another year, another decade, he has peace in this moment. And with faith, he'll have peace for every other moment that comes after that. May we look upon Jesus with the eyes of faith. May we go to his table to receive his body and blood and trust that each day we have with him is an opportunity to know his peace, to speak his love, to be a part of his kingdom on this earth, in this life, until we are dismissed. Amen. Please stand and confess the Apostles' Creed with me. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Many, many years, 3 decades or so after Simeon and Anna held Jesus aloft in the temple and gave thanks to their God, Jesus was back in Jerusalem. He was seated at the table with his disciples, his friends and closest followers from years together on the road throughout Judea and Galilee, Samaria, and even Gentile cities where they proclaimed the kingdom of God with parables and miracles. Jesus was at that table with them on the night that he would be betrayed, and he took bread, and he broke it, gave thanks to God, and said to the people at the table, "Take this and eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you." Much in the same way, after supper, Jesus took a cup, and he gave it to them, and said, "Take this and drink, for this cup is my blood and the new covenant for the forgiveness of sins for all. Do this in remembrance of me." Every time we take from the bread and the cup, we proclaim that Jesus has died on the cross for the forgiveness of sins, that Jesus has risen from the dead as a sign of God's hope, God's peace, God's love, and the joy, the power of the resurrection that is for Christ and for all those who are in Christ. Christ is the host at this table. All who wish to be a part of his kingdom here and now, to see his salvation, to be part of his way, are invited to come, to take the bread, to drink the cup, to proclaim Christ's death and resurrection until he should come again. If you require gluten-free, we have that option. It's a combined cup and gluten-free wafer together. Just let me know that's what you need. If you have a child who's not yet received instruction in communion, ask that you'd have them cross their arms over their shoulders like this. That way I know to give them a prayer of blessing instead of the elements of communion. Aside from that, I'd like to invite my elders to come forward and help serve. And in just a moment, we'll invite everyone else to come forward. Come, for all has been made ready.